The Bus Drivers Union Unite is urging the public to bombard the Department for Infrastructure email over opening Belfast bus lanes to private hire taxis. The department launched a consultation last week into whether taxis should get to use them with a closing date of the 6th of July. Unite are saying this could lead to 4,500 taxis flooding our bus lanes. And that, as every full bus means 50 less cars on our roads, they say this proposal is likely to lead to a rise in traffic congestion. The taxi driver, Ken Kelly, is with us today. Good morning to you, Ken.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning. And Donal O'Coffey from the Union Unite Northern Ireland. Morning. Well, Donal, this is scare tactics from you, isn't it?
Not really. It's a genuine concern. Northern Ireland's public transport system has lacked investment for decades, and the little investment we have had is in terms of bus lanes, the idea of which is really to allow buses to get from point A to B in a short time and to encourage people to leave the car behind and to beat congestion. It's obvious that for long years the taxi companies have looked on this as something that they wish to get access to. For some reason, unnamed, unknown, unaccountable civil servants have offered us a three-week consultation on a proposal that overturns decades of long-standing policy by a locally accountable elected ministers who have put in the investment on bus lanes.
You can't ask a locally accounted minister to make a decision around this if they don't exist.
Exactly. Well, how can an unelected official make a three-week consultation with no public consultation events, no public consultation documents, no address to write to, just an email address? This is designed to exclude the people and the public, because the public are the ones that are going to suffer if we have a rise in congestion. Northern Ireland already has a serious problem with air pollution. We need a transition to public transport, to mass transit systems. And we're seeing nothing in that way. More than 500 people every year in Northern Ireland die as a result of air pollution. What's going to happen with the increase in congestion in our cities as a result of this?
You've also got very powerful taxi companies, by the way, who will benefit from this and who may benefit commercially from this, because the easier and the faster that their cars can take you from A to B, then the more attractive their business is. So has there been scrutiny around what input these taxi companies have had, whether they have done any lobbying? That's all completely legal. I'm not suggesting any impropriety. But you've got a very powerful power base there. Who has been scrutinising that? How many meetings have there been? What have these big, massive taxi companies said? We asked William McCausland, who is one of the most high-profile taxi owners, to come on to the radio this morning. He won't do so. So he's not taking part in a public, in terms of, on this programme, consultation. But, for example, has Mr. McCausland said anything to government as to the benefits of this? And what are the benefits of this?
Well, we all know that before the last executive collapsed, that the Minister for Infrastructure had an unminuted meeting in relation to the opening of bus lanes, and that no civil servant accompanied the Minister in that meeting, but the policy changed very sharply thereafter. Now, there are a lot of questions. Obviously, you're right, the private taxi owners are very rich, they're very well connected, both sides of the community, and they seem to call the shots on these sort of matters. The bus lanes have been a holy grail to them for years, and they're finally seeming to get their way, but they're getting it through a three-week consultation with no public consultation events, no public consultation documents, no studies, and being made by unelected civil servants who are overturning years and years of established policy overnight with no input from the public, and no oversight, no political accountability. And this is what we're really trying to highlight. We've got one email, and we've got the 6th of July to get as many objections in as we can. And even the email address, it's very off-putting for people.
Well, why is it off-putting?
Well, it's not. Like, usually they have consultation at, whatever. And
this email address, if I read it out to you now, it says...
I can't hear you.
Address is
I cannot hear you.
Branch, all one word, at infrastructure-ni.gov.uk.
Now, that's not very user-friendly, is it? But only an email address. Who ever heard of a consultation where the only way to respond is by sending an email? Usually they have consultation pro formas. Usually they have documents to engage the public. Usually they have public consultation meetings. Usually a consultation takes 8 weeks, 10 weeks. This is a 3 week quick turnaround, no input from the people. This is what we're facing here, and we're having a very significant decision. Opening to bus lanes to taxis, 4,500 taxis, is going to have a dramatic impact on our public transport, and there's no accountability.
We believe that the permanent secretary is Peter May for the Department for Infrastructure. So the permanent secretary will now be making a decision, will he, as to whether taxis can now drive down the bus lanes. I think we need to drill into the why here. So why? Why would private hire taxis be able to drive down a bus lane? And if you're taking your someone to hospital, why can you not drive down a bus lane? If you're going to your doctor, if you're taking a child to school, you know, where is the difference here between a single occupied taxi? Maybe there's nobody in it and it's just the driver.
Taxis take 1% of the total commuters in Belfast go by taxi. 14% go by buses. And it takes 14 taxis for every one bus that's on the road. So it's the opposite of what we want to be doing. If we want to take cars off, if we want to encourage people to leave the car behind, we need to allow the buses to have free access to the bus lanes. It's as simple as that. We don't have much of a public transport investment in this country, but this is something we have got, and now we're seeing even this attack.
Are you going to challenge this in court?
Well, obviously the union will need to make that call, but at the moment we're just encouraging people to engage with this consultation. The recent High Court decision says that controversial decisions like this around the incinerator cannot be taken by unelected, unaccountable civil servants if there's sufficient opposition. So what we're encouraging people is to get out and to make sure you get an email into them to complain and object to this. It's not just bus commuters or bus drivers. There's cyclists. There's a lot of people who will have legitimate reasons to be concerned about this. And you're right, there's a wider issue on why other private operators aren't accessing this public infrastructure. So we're encouraging all those people to get an email into this off-putting email address by the 6th of July and make sure and bombard the department and let them know under no uncertain terms that we're not going to have unelected, unaccountable civil servants overturning public transport infrastructure and investment in this country.
Well, we have one rule for them and one rule for us now being proposed here, don't we? So the one rule for them is if you're a taxi driver and you're going to work, then you can use this priority lane. And if you're an ordinary citizen, stay out of it. If you're a taxi driver and there's one passenger in your car, you can have the priority lane. If you're a citizen bringing four workers, if you're car sharing, for example, stay out of the bus lane. You're not allowed onto it. Why should this be acceptable, Ken Kelly?
It's a question of whether taxis are part of an integrated transport system. Every major city, the taxis are normally involved.
Every car on the road.
Only 10% of the population of Belfast. Hold on, now you're not in the...
Yeah, but every car on the road is part of an integrated transport system. That's what transport is. You drive and you get from A to B.
I put that wrong. Integrated public transport system. Do you want an... Is a taxi a part of an integrated public transport system, for example, in London, Cardiff, Glasgow? It is or it is not.
Not if they're taking somebody to the wine lodge, they're not. Somebody to the fun fair, they're not.
It's a good argument, and I accept what you're saying. But the facts of the case are this. The majority of taxi drivers that are on the road between 7 and 10 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the or 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock
doing
in
what?
The evening
doing what?
Are not involved in social transportation.
Then what are they doing then?
Children. Well, for example, I, for the last 15 years, every morning, take 8 children to school in my taxi.
All at once?
Yes.
You've got 8 kids in your one taxi?
Yes.
And you must have a big van.
Why do you find that strange?
Well, you must have a big van then.
of an 8-seater taxi.
Right, but so you're going, so the same rule is going to apply to you.
I have contracts with the Education Authority to transport children, special needs children to school.
Right.
So they're going to be excluded out of the bus lane.
Hold on a moment. So the same rule, because many people might think, okay, so there's a van carrying 8 children. How is it logical that the same rule will apply to a taxi driver who has a little car with nobody in it?
Well, how does it affect that when an empty bus is moving up the bus lane to reposition to do the start of his run, has only one passenger, the driver, or one person, the driver? It's logical. People, what do they call it, positioning the taxis or the buses? But that doesn't matter. Only 10% of the people in Belfast own a car. So you're expecting some 70-year-old woman to drag herself out onto the front of a road to wait 10 or 15 minutes, where perhaps she wants to get a taxi. Even going to the airport, we want that integrated public transport system to take people to the airport. You've got two cases. You want to go and get the airport bus. Where have you got to go? You've got to go to the Europa Centre. You're going to drag the case up onto a bus? For goodness sake, we are either part of the transport system or we are not.
You're not part of the transport system if you are taking one person in a taxi. Can you get my point? In America, what
I
they
take
do...
Your point.
Here's what
I
they
take
do.
Your
here's
point.
What they do in America. So they do not in America in certain states. I'm thinking of the likes of California, etc. They do not discriminate against people. They basically have the same rule for everybody. It's a car sharing lane. So what it says is, and sometimes it's two people, sometimes it's three people, if you have a certain amount of people in the car, then you are allowed to use that lane. If you're travelling on your own, then you're not. So why is that not more logical than suddenly saying, oh, you're a taxi operator, there's nobody in your car, there's one person in your car, but meanwhile a family who might be bringing three kids to school, they've got to sit in the non-priority lane. Why is that acceptable?
You're saying about the priority lanes in America, and we've all seen the jokes where they've put in the mannequins into the front of the car to get down the multi-use lane, as you refer to. Let's go back to the point. Is a taxi part of an integrated transport system in a major city? And I would argue that it is. You can dress it up whatever way you want. You can refer to people only using it with single taxi drivers. I can refer to you where buses have only one driver moving the bus up and down the lane with nobody on it because he's driving up the starters running carried off to take children out to the country in the bus.
I'm reading some copy here, by the way. Donald Coffey mentioned it earlier, that's in the BBC system. Questions have been raised about a meeting last year before a decision to allow taxis into bus lanes in Belfast. It's reported the infrastructure minister at the time, Chris Hazard of Sinn Féin, met taxi operators without officials present. Sinn Féin say that meeting only involved his party colleague, Paul Maskey. We'll ask Sinn Féin about that, actually, this morning. And find out what happened there, because it comes back to, and I don't know, so this is genuinely an open question, how much lobbying has there been by taxi operators? And, you know, has anybody been lobbying on behalf of, take any group of people, doctors, nurses, care workers who are trying to travel around at peak time to deliver care to elderly patients and at home, and they maybe have 15-minute slots, and they're having to sit in a non-priority lane while a taxi driver goes and picks up a 10p mix-up for somebody?
Stephen, in terms of the lobbying, there's been a huge effort by the taxi firm owners. And in fact, I think one of the owners was on your station a few years ago when this was they were already chasing after this, and he was bragging at how many political leaders were all in supporting what his agenda was. But the question really is, do these taxis provide wheelchair-accessible access? A lot of them don't. 4,500 taxis going onto these lanes is going to have a dramatic impact on the quickness of the journey for our bus to get from A to B. If there's 4,500 taxis can get onto there at willy-nilly, why would people leave the car behind? It's as simple as that. And then the question is, why is there only a 3-week consultation?
Could I reply to that, Donald? Would you mind if I replied to that?
Just one last thing. On what basis do civil servants who can't pay 1% extra to a nurse in Northern Ireland How do they?
What's that got to do with taxis in the bus lane?
Because it's very simple. The civil service is saying that they don't have the power to pay a pay increase to NHS workers, but at the same time, they have the power.
They're all your fellow union people. So why don't you talk to them yourselves?
So what's that, sorry?
Are they not all fellow union people, along with yourself?
Well, the people that's doing these sort of decisions are probably not members of the unions, and that's neither here nor there, in a sense, right?
That's neither here nor there, Frankie.
They're not democratically elected to make these decisions. They have no electoral mandate to change fundamentally public transport decisions.
Okay,
could I answer one point there?
No, not just yet. Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, listen to the debate there. Why not open it up then for the maintenance guys who travel about the city centre there, who are helping to park in private car parks and can't use the bus lanes? You've got contractors bringing workers in there in the mornings who are not allowed to use the bus lanes. Why not open it up to all of them? I mean, why not just go back to no bus lanes? But that's the way it's divided. We have so many taxis, and is it going to make any difference from 5 years ago when the system started? You know, we're getting ridiculous. It is called a bus lane, and then we ended up with public taxis in it, which I accept and do because they can pick up and drop off anything within the city centre, and they're providing a good service.
Can I comment on that? It is a bus lane, you say. But if you take it to this obvious conclusion,
can I finish my point here?
Yes, you can.
He's running the show. I don't know who this guy is, but he seems to be running the show.
He's a taxi driver.
A taxi driver who drives. He does a school run once in the morning, once in the afternoon, I have to say. So he's not using it during the day, if that's the case, if he's just doing taxis for his school runs. Anyway, the point I was making, what about the contractors in there? Well, who's going to look after them? It's only people who have to stop and offload. You know, they're always getting harassed. Can't park there. Move along. And it's right. You can't be parking there as such. But not to bring more cars into the bus. It's going to make the problem worse than what it is now. I think so.
Ken?
If you take out this obvious conclusion, he said that this is a bus lane. Let's go with what it says. It's a bus lane. Exclude cyclists. Exclude motorbikes. A cyclist will reduce the usage of the bus lane quicker than a taxi will.
We have cycle lanes within the town. We're actually people who are using up and down on the footpath. I mean, see that's a crazy example to use. Bicycles. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to sit out in the middle lane, causing maybe more for distractions? I mean, cause an accident as well. Why not keep it there where they're safer? You know.
Right, Tony in West Belfast next. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I don't know what that guy's name is. Who from the union?
O'Coffey. Donal O'Coffey.
What was it?
Donal O'Coffey.
Donal, sorry, the line's a wee bit bad. I just think he's being very disingenuous with his information. He says there's 4,500 taxis going to use these bus lanes.
Yeah.
Well, just to put him right, there's 4,500 taxis in the whole of the north of Ireland. The bus lanes only operate in Belfast.
They all have access to these bus lanes.
No, I know, but they're not all going to be using them at the 110.
Well, of course not.
Every taxi man isn't going to be on the road 24/7. We had a trial period last year for 3 months, and everything went smooth. Everybody said it was great. That's customers, taxi men, bus men, the lads.
We all know what happened with the last so-called test, and that was that the taxis were unusually avoided the bus lane for the duration. And that's what everyone understands. So let's get back to the basics here. Bus lanes should be for buses. That's the union position. We believe
no bicycles.
Buses are public transport. We need to encourage people.
There's
nothing wrong with healthy transport. That's fine as well. That's good. We need to encourage it. But we need to reduce the number of cars. Belfast is one of the most congested cities in the entirety of the UK. The pollution rate on the as you're coming in the West Link, in those communities, those deprived communities in the west of the city, it's 20% above the maximum that the EU says for public health. 500 people every year, more than 500 every year, die in Northern Ireland from air pollution. And we've got a real crisis here with air pollution, and it's related to congestion.
We need to take action.
Let's
talk to Newton Emerson this morning, the commentator. Good morning to you, Newton.
Good morning.
Good morning. And bicycles being mentioned here in the conversation. So what's it going to be like for bicycles if we now have taxi drivers, buses, every man and his dog in these lines, in these lanes?
Well, we don't know. And that's one of the most disturbing aspects of these trials. The first one that was announced last year, just one working day, incidentally, before it began, simply said it was an experiment. The Department of Infrastructure couldn't say how it had designed that experiment, what it would consider success or failure, how it had assessed the risk to cyclists and other users, how it ethically justified creating that risk. Experiments are meant to be designed and signed off and justified in that way. They just launched it and nobody knows how dangerous it is. And that initial trial revealed what is, in fact, the very, very worst aspect of this lobbying effort by the taxi industry, which is the deliberate attempt to sabotage the new glider system. That's what this is really all about. The trial that took place last year only ran in the bus lanes that were to be the glider routes. There are 12 metro bus routes in Belfast, but it only focused on the two routes to be used for glider plus the city centre loop. There is a real rush, and that's part of the problem with this trial, a real rush to get it to start before glider is due to begin in September. Now, if this is about assessing the impact of taxis in the bus lanes, how can they do that when they haven't established a baseline for how glider will work? The impact will be built in from day one. If there's any damaging effect on glider, that will begin from day one and start putting customers, glider customers, off from day one. It is a deliberate attempt to sabotage that, this system. It's as clear as day. Unite has said that as well. They're quite right. That's the real target here.
I don't even know what glider is. What is glider?
Well, glider is the new rapid transit system for Belfast, but it's going to depend, as Unite say, on having high quality bus lanes. If we're going to allow
New lanes throughout Belfast.
Yes. There's just the two at the minute. If we're going to allow those lanes to be compromised, then all we're getting is just a fleet of bendy buses. And we've spent £100 million on 30 bendy buses. You need to have special priority for those lanes. I think there is an argument also for keeping bicycles out of them. But to just flood them with taxis as an experiment with no baseline established, with no proper public consultation, following very questionable lobbying, it really smells bad.
And Newton, there's another aspect. This is not just a SOP that's opening up to all the bus lanes along the BRT route. This is opening up every bus lane as a SOP to the taxi owners and their influence.
Yes, this one is. And on the point that the taxi driver
you're allowed to talk on this show.
Yes, you are allowed to talk, but I'm chairing it. So,
It
can be strange all you like. I'm chairing it. So, when you describe this as a SOP to the taxi owners are absolutely entitled to lobby on what they think is good for their business or indeed for society. They are entitled to do it. You can carry on.
Yes, of course they're entitled to it. It's the question about whether the civil service is entitled to act in this way. And the point I wanted to make about the taxi driver you had speaking earlier and his 8-seater bus bringing children to school is that there's already a licensing system that allows large taxis, black taxis and wheelchair accessible taxis to use the bus lanes. This isn't about that. And it's a distraction to talk about it in those terms. A black taxi and wheelchair accessible taxis are already licensed to use the bus lanes. They have a taxi bus license.
And not all people who travel with special needs need a wheelchair.
The number today is 030-30-80-55-55. My goodness, this is reactive this morning. I see a statement into us now from the Department of Infrastructure who say in 2017 the then Infrastructure Minister introduced a 12-week trial that allowed Class A taxis to use bus lanes on Belfast rapid transit routes. The trial provided a snapshot of the volume of traffic likely to use bus lanes if Class A taxis are allowed in and provided an opportunity for anyone with an interest to voice their views. However, in terms of bus journey times and speeds, the findings of the trial were largely inconclusive. Right. So essentially the Department of Infrastructure is saying, we did a trial that told us nothing.
Well, that's because they didn't set out at the start what they wanted to find out. There was no design of this experiment.
You're all doing my head in this morning. The department is now undertaking a more extensive trial, which at this stage is intended to last 12 months. This trial will be undertaken as an experimental traffic control scheme, which in line with the legislation will come into force initially for 6 months and be extended as required. I don't understand that. It'll come into force for 6 months and be extended as required, but it's intended to last 12 months. What?
Once these private taxis get into the holy grail, which is for them the bus lane, they'll not be getting out. So this is how they do things.
And, in deciding to undertake this trial...
So you're making us sound like the mafia.
In deciding to undertake this trial, the department has considered representations received during the recent consultation on 12-hour bus lanes on the Belfast Rapid Transit routes. Well, I would like to know when that, for example, and we'll put these questions in right now, when the department says they've considered representations, how many representations did they get? What was the ratio of representations from the taxi industry compared to members of the public? Let's see if the department will yield any of this information behind this statement. And they conclude the department has commissioned transport consultants to gather and analyse data in advance of and during the period of the trial. This data will be used to allow a future minister to make a policy decision at the end of the trial. So, Donal, I'm completely confused, and maybe you can help me, and I'm sure I'm being stupid here, right? But I thought there's a consultation as to whether they should do this or not, and from this statement, they're doing it. Am I getting mixed up?
They seem to be prejudging their own consultations, but that's perhaps why there's only an email, no public meetings, no justification.
But you can't prejudge a consultation. You can't decide to do something before a consultation. Can we just clarify, in case I get this wrong, we'll get the team to clarify with the department. So are they saying they're definitely doing this and then ask people if they should do it? That couldn't be the case. So let me clarify what's going on. You, Emerson, you're still with us, right?
Yes.
This, because I'm so ill-informed about this, there's £100 million investment into a new bus scheme in Northern Ireland, correct?
Yes.
And that bus scheme is coming in September. Is that right?
Hopefully, yep.
And before September, just a few months before September, lo and behold, they're going to open up the bus lanes so that 4,500 taxis have a right to be in the same bus lanes while they're trying to encourage people to get on the buses. And they're opening it up to private hire taxis at the same time.
Yes, and this is the second targeting of the glider system. Last year, the taxi trial that was sprung on us with no warning last year focused only on the glider routes, the two initial glider routes. So it's very, very clear targeting of that system. And you're asking about the strange design of this public consultation exercise. Well, I think that the question about whether civil servants can take this decision is very much on their minds after the incinerator court case. And opinions differ on whether they can take this decision. Nobody actually knows what decision civil servants can take, but it looks like they've taken every step they can to stand over this decision to say, yes, we're entitled to do it. But that's beside the point, because even if a minister took a decision for this trial, there's no question that a judicial review could have it thrown out, because it's so contrary to every other policy. You can't. I suppose you can't 100% say it, but it is unquestionably contrary to every transport policy the department has, and also, as you pointed out yourself, the design of the consultation exercise is contradictory.
I'm looking at the statement from the Department of Infrastructure this morning is absolutely intriguing me. Every line of it is intriguing me. So I'll read this bit again. The department is now undertaking a more extensive trial, which at this stage is intended to last 12 months. This trial will be undertaken as an experimental traffic control scheme, which in line with the legislation will come into force initially for 6 months and be extended as required. So you would have thought in that second sentence that any person reading that, surely to read that, you read it, the legislation says you can only do this for 6 months and be extended as required. In other words, a view, an impartial view needs to be taken after 6 months as to whether this should be extended or not. and yet the department publicly saying that they intend to do it for 12 months.
No, I think that what's going on here is that they have legal powers to make orders on the roads for that length of time and then extend them. They're trying to keep themselves within their legal powers on what they're entitled to do. That's all that's going on.
But hold on. The legislation allows them to do it for 6 months initially, not 12 months, 6 months. You can therefore follow the logic that surely allows for civil servants to look at something and say, OK, what's this been like after 6 months? So why are they deciding before it's even happened that they're going to do it for 12 months? It's a complete cock up. They're intending to do it for 12 months before they have to intend to do it for 12 months.
Well, that's just one of the many decisions that appear to have prejudged this ill-defined experiment. But really, that's only one of the little details that should see this thing thrown out in court.
What is going on here? What is going on? I see with TransLink, I've just looked up their Twitter feed. When was this? 18th of June. TransLink connecting the city with new routes, free Wi-Fi and USB charging. We are ready for Gilder Belfast. Are you ready for Gilder Belfast? Glider Belfast, sorry. They ask. Well, at the same time as private hire taxis will be sitting in front of the Glider Belfast.
What's going on here?
They'll not be doing a lot of gliding, will they, Ken Kelly?
The glider's only on two routes. So surely, how are you going to feed into them? The principle is that you feed into the glider routes.
You feed into by sitting in front of them?
No. If you want to go to the Dundonald Hospital, you get an ordinary bus down the Armour Road to the City Hall, pick up the glider, and it takes you to the front door of the Ulster Hospital.
Yeah, but
there could be
20 taxis sitting in front of you.
Yes, but if you're a person
with mobility issues,
and can't get to the local bus, You can use a glider and the taxi.
But the glider won't be gliding if there's a whole stream of taxis sitting in front of them.
There's not going to be 4,000 taxis in one bus.
I'm not suggesting there is, but there are going to be private hire taxis sitting in front of them and behind them. So what is the point of this country investing 100 million quid into a rapid transport system if there's going to be private hire taxis stopping the gliding?
And I agree with you. If that's the case, then ban them from that particular route and bicycles.
But the department, without even having seen how this plays out, are intending to do this for 12 months. What's going on, Peter May? Why are you intending to do this for 12 months? And how much public consultation has there actually been up to now for you to intend to do it for 12 months? And why are you not also doing a trial, Peter May, permanent secretary? Why are you not doing a trial of car sharing for private citizens who are going to work? Are you trying that type of trial where two or three or four people are required to be in a car and then they can use the bus lanes? Why is there only a trial for private hire taxi companies, Mr. May? I think those are pretty valid questions. Let's put them in to the Permanent Secretary, see how he responds. Dennis in Whitehead. Morning, Dennis.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, if the situation is getting to the state that it's getting continually worse, surely they would need to look at something fairly dramatic like a congestion charge if it's getting to that sort of state.
Maybe a congestion charge, but everybody but the private hire taxis, Dennis.
Exactly.
Peter. Morning, Peter.
Well, I'd like to ask two questions. The first one is...
You're a taxi driver, by the way, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the union man there. Is it Donald?
Donald O'Coffey.
Well, whatever. I'd like to ask him if I was a member of his union, would he be on the radio as quick trying to stop me from using the bus lanes?
I actually think that there's something to be gained for the taxi drivers if we can take cars off the road. For every bus that goes, we're taking maybe 20, maybe 30 cars off the roads. That will make it less congested for everyone. And then your taxi drivers, and we do have members in taxi drivers, but the best solution for Northern Ireland is to have a decent public transport system to take cars off the roads, to encourage people to leave the car behind, to be reliant on public transport, and to get to work that way. And that will have better health outcomes. It will help us in terms of our environment. And it is sustainable, and that's what we need to get to. And the way to do that, and has been the policy of ministers for decades now, is to have a dedicated bus lane for for buses. And that will get buses from A to B and encourage people to leave the car behind. And what we're seeing is unelected civil servants making decisions or attempting to make decisions which subvert that.
Well, hold on a moment. But you can't start criticising, as has happened, civil servants for not taking decisions. And then when they're prepared to, criticise them for that too.
Well,
also Donald, also, when you talk about leaving...
How does Donald know better than everybody else?
Also, Donald, when you're talking about leaving cars behind, of course... This to give taxis access to those bus lanes will relieve some of the parking problems in Belfast, because obviously nobody's parking. The taxis moving around, constantly moving around. There's a big plus to this happening as well, Donal.
There is. I do recognise that to some extent. Yeah. But in the end of the day, we've got to try and get people onto our mass transit buses and our trains. And Northern Ireland has a really, really poor public transport infrastructure. It has had for decades. We haven't had much investment. The first investment in decades was the Belfast Rapid Transit. We got the poorest model of that, a system that Unite wasn't that happy with, but we supported nonetheless because it was an investment in public transport. And there's lots of problems with it, specifically with you know, if the taxis are allowed on the BRT routes, which seems to be the approach. And
do you see no necessity for taxis to be part of an integrated transport system in Belfast?
Is that what you're saying? Private taxis, like every other private vehicle, have access to the roads. Public bus lanes are there by public investment for non-profit making public transport providers. Which are that's what our policy is, that we should have encourage people.
Can I ask you a question?
Let me ask you a question, Ken. Why can private taxis not be part of the transport infrastructure and just use the normal lane?
Precisely. The argument is that registered taxis, which are the ones that are allowed to use the lane, usually work from ranks in the city centre. The chances of you getting a B registered taxi, for example, on the Armour Road in Raby Street to lift a 70-year-old woman to go to the city hospital are nil.
Hold on a moment. But why can't you lift the 70-year-old woman and use the normal lane?
Well, the argument is, should she not be entitled to get a better value? If she goes into that there...
What do you mean better value?
Well, if you go in... The taxi... A and B taxis are the only industry... where the DRD regulate the first.
We're going off on a tangent here.
Well,
That 70-year-old lady, why can you not transport her by using the normal lane? What do you mean by value?
I'm saying to you that because it's a regulated fare, if she goes into the lane for that journey, it's £2 to £3 extra. And I think it's unfair to only the 10%, so the 90% of people who don't own cars in Belfast. That's my argument.
So the 70-year-old...
Can I get a second point yet?
So the 70-year-old woman going to hospital, you are arguing should get priority over the 70-year-old woman who's driving herself to hospital, over the 70-year-old woman who is being taken by her son or daughter or husband to hospital. Or the 70, that's what you're arguing.
I'm saying that if a person who has no access to a vehicle, a transport system, who relies on public transport, of which taxis are an integrated part, that she has the choice to use a taxi. If
what about the 70-year-old woman who does have access to a vehicle?
Hasn't got access to a car, I think it's unfair to her.
Why? What about the 70-year-old woman who does have access to a vehicle? She's going to be sitting in a normal lane trying to get to hospital while you soar past.
I'm saying that that person, again, that the individual, the 70-year-old woman, has entitlement to have a reasonable price, that she doesn't be,
You're not addressing my point.
Your point doesn't my seem point. Sensible. Well, go ahead,
well,
try again.
Well, I'll try again. So the 70-year-old woman who has her own car, paying tax on it, paying insurance on it, she's sitting in the normal bus lane. She's sitting in the normal lane in a queue of traffic while your 70-year-old passenger soars past because you're getting earnings out of it. How's that fair?
Hello.
Life isn't fair, and I could argue with that.
Life's not fair. That's your answer.
After, No. After paying, for sitting in that lane and paying all that money and watching a bicycle who pays none of the things you mentioned, is that fair?
David in Ballymena. Morning, David. Hello, David.
That's Desmond.
Hello.
Desmond, is it?
Yes.
Go ahead, Desmond.
I was wanting to know, as coaches, you know, the big tour coaches?
Yes.
Are they allowed to be in it?
Yes.
And they, when you go to Belfast, I was up on the coach tour there about a week ago. There's nowhere to park. I had to let the passengers off, and there was plenty of room. No, nobody in the streets, no cars. And I parked, and the traffic warden came up, moved me on, and I had to drive round and round and round the streets, and then people come back out for about half an hour more.
Desmond, thank you. Rodney in Ballymena. Morning, Rodney.
Hi, good morning, Stephen. I just heard a taxi driver saying there that they're a public service vehicle. I'm coming up to 60 now. Am I going to get a free pass?
There's a question.
The good news is I just turned 65 and I've got a free pass, so I'll be using the glider.
No.
Part of the system.
Ken Kelly, if you're part of the public system, do you think you should be given free rides to over 60s?
Yes. Put it. I think the machine should go into the taxis that we are able to use, the same machine as the buses use. And the Department of Infrastructure should put that in, and we should be able to do that.
Ewan Emerson,
what
impact do you think this is going to have on the glider system?
Oh, well, that's the point. There's no way to know because the department has taken great steps to begin the trial before a glider starts. And if you're going to put one question to Peter May, that's it. Why has he started this trial too early for it to be possible to judge the effect it's going to have?
Now, Vinny, you've got a map of where this glider system will go. I don't do maps. I cannot do maps.
You don't do maps. This is the glider map.
I sat beside a young
man. Doesn't do buses, Vinny. Doesn't do buses either.
No, he doesn't.
I sat beside a young man called
Mercedes is what he does.
Called Kenton Hillman.
Yeah. Yes.
In geography in class. And he talked to me that much and distracted me that much.
Nonsense.
But I still can't do maps to this
anyway, day. To give you an idea of where this goes, it starts as far west as Dunmurry, through past Casement, Milltown Cemetery, the Royal Victoria.
This is where it's going to glide.
Yes, this will glide the whole way through past Belfast Met, Belfast City Centre then, of course, right in the middle. Central Station, Hollywood Arches, through to Ballyhackamore, Stormont Estate, and then the Ulster Hospital, ending at the Dundonald Park and Ride. So that's the whole way from Dunmurry, right through the city centre, through to the east and out as far as Dundonald. It also goes from the city centre up past the SSE Arena.
So how do you ride and glide if there's five taxis in front of you?
That's an interesting question. It also goes up...
You ride and glide slowly.
You're right. Well, you're still gliding, technically, past the Titanic Centre and a little bit further out that way. So it's almost like an upside-down T, but it's the whole way through the city.
Well, look, the man in charge of this, thank you, Vinny, is Peter May. Is that right? You don't know. Peter May, the Permanent Secretary, that's the man who's in charge of this. So the series of questions that we're putting into the Permanent Secretary. One, why is there no trial for private citizens? Has it been even contemplated that a car sharing scheme similar to what happens in America, have they contemplated that? Why are they not trialling that? Secondly, how much lobbying has been done by the taxi industry? Thirdly, as Newton Emerson brings up, why is this being brought in before the glider system? And I think we also need to go to TransLink this morning and ask them if they think there will be efficient riding and gliding if the taxis are going to be able to use those bus lanes. What does the major company, TransLink, how do they feel about this? I think is a really interesting question, and the Nolan Show will be asking TransLink this morning.